I think we can start. That's actually a good introduction for tonight, the loving kindness chanting. This is the fourth kind of Tuesday, the last one, and what I'm going to try to talk about and what we're going to try to do afterwards is metta meditation, or kindness, or loving kindness meditation. What I will do, there is a few things I have to say in the beginning, just to give you some information, because real metta meditation isn't as straightforward and easy as like breath meditation. So I have some information in the beginning, and then after some information, I have an idea what we can do for a meditation to try it out. I will use the word metta instead of loving kindness. I'm used to that, but when I use this old Pali or Sanskrit word metta, it's what I mean is loving kindness. Loving kindness is a standard English translation of that type of meditation. Metta or loving kindness is basically a feeling deep inside, and it's difficult to pinpoint one word for loving kindness. If I try to describe metta, it's like kindness, goodwill, caring, giving, respect, kind of unconditional, selfless. Maybe the best word I like personally is goodwill. A goodwill you have inside of you towards anything. It can be yourself, it can be other people, it can be the world around you. Last time we talked about breath meditation, and I tried to expand that object of meditation by adding visualizations to make that object of meditation bigger and more interesting. The good thing about breath meditation is it's easy to find. So whenever you sit down to try to meditate, breath is one of those objects which are easy to find and hang on to. And it's quite easy to create some kind of fantasy or some kind of story around it, like we tried last time. You can even add like counting to it. You can count the breath, in and out one, in and out two, etc. So you can make the object bigger and more entertaining for your mind, so you have something to hold on to. So it's easy to find and easy to hold on to. It's like in the past, I liked to do scuba diving, and when we went scuba diving, we went out with a boat, and then when we came to the right place, we threw out this anchor with a rope, and we jumped into the water and just followed that rope straight down. I could just hold on to this rope and just let go down. As long as I just hold to that rope, I will end up in the bottom, where I wanted to go, and didn't drift off anywhere. Just straight down. It's very easy. You can hold it easily, grab it easily. So breath, you can make it into a big object, and as you calm down, you can let go of more and more and more. For example, you start with both your breath and some visualizations, and even counting. And as you calm down, you let go. You stop counting. And after a while, you stop your visualizations, and you're left only with your breath. And later on, you can even let go of your breath and just focus on stillness. So it's you start with a big object and you make it smaller and smaller and smaller as your mind calms down. Breath is really, really good to take to remove big emotions, big movements in your mind. Lots of like hate, hard, lots of craving, fear, stress and worries. It always works and is easy to grab hold on. And it always brings some kind of peace. Metta, on the other side, is really difficult. Breath is like, it's like physical, it's material, it's something you can grab hold on. It's kind of mechanical side of kind of you. Metta is the other side. It's immaterial. It's kind of woolly. It's immaterial and difficult to kind of see, because metta is a feeling. And when most people start to do metta meditation, and they're supposed to focus on an object like metta, for most people, that object isn't there in your mind when you start. So you're supposed to focus on metta, and then it's not there. Or you're kind of drowning in all kind of other activities, so that metta feeling you have is so difficult to see. Metta is like feely-feely, and it's something you have to develop. It's something you have to start your meditation to create the object you're going to follow. And that doesn't happen quickly. That makes metta meditation difficult. If you do metta meditation right, and you hang on long enough and patiently enough, and you do the right thing, a feeling will arise in your mind which you can take and pick up as your meditation object and hang on to that and make that grow and grow and grow in your mind. Done properly, metta, this feeling you develop, is in my opinion, the most delicious feeling a human being can have outside what we call deep meditation, like the jhanas. It's extremely delicious, it's extremely fulfilling, and it goes really deep. There's lots of reasons why it has that much focus in kind of in the Buddhist traditions. It's really positive, it's really delicious, it's a good feeling, and just that feeling alone you can have for hours and hours in your mind, and is stronger than anything else you can produce from your senses and your body. So that's the upside. But there is like an entrance fee. There's something, it's not an easy thing. Breath is easier, but metta is much more fun. Combination is probably the best. That's what I'm doing. But both breath and metta meditation needs the same basis. It needs stillness, it needs a comfortable body, and it needs time. There's one other thing I want to describe about metta. And outside that, it's a really, really nice feeling to have inside, is that it creates like a shield. This probably sounds funny, but it is metta done properly. It's like creating a shield around your mind. And it feels like that. It feels like you're walking around and you have this shield around you. So when you think people are behaving bad towards you, they say something or do something, or the world doing something bad, it doesn't penetrate into your mind. You stay calm and happy inside because of this shield, this feeling which surrounds you. It's really protective for your mind, and it's really delicious. For monks, it is basically lots of senior monks are saying like metta as a highway to deep meditation. And that's what the monks are kind of aiming for. That's why we go to the monastery, so we can really develop our minds and go deep in meditation and develop lots of joy and happiness in our minds. And metta is that highway. I remember a few years back, I was in a monastery, and maybe after, I don't know, 4 years, 5 years in the monastery, I had this interview with a senior monk in our monastery, and I was doing lots of breath meditation. Not much kindness at all. And I was good at breath meditation. I was really good at using breath to calm down the mind. And I had a chat with the senior monk because I was kind of complaining about the monks. They were doing something bad. They were doing wrong things. And they should be kind of fixed up. Somebody should tell them off. And I was the one who wanted to do that. I wanted to go to those monks, all those people around the monastery. Oh, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. And I had a discussion with the senior monk, and he kind of realized that what my mind needed was kindness. And the whole session, the whole discussion I had with him, he was just hammering, no, just be kind. And I, but, no, be kind. Yeah, but you have that. No, be kind. And after hammering me for, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, just be kind, it finally dropped. Okay, I can try that. I can try to live in a monastery and not be fault-finding and not complain. And whatever people are doing around me, just be kind. Even they're doing kind of bad things as a monk, which isn't bad in kind of in the compared to what's happening out in the world. Up in the monastery is a good group of really good kind people. So it's possible to live in the monastery and develop kindness without being used. Maybe if you live a normal life, if you're too kind, people might end up using you for their own advantage, take advantage of you. But in a monastery, with such a good group of people, it's possible. And with some good seniors, a senior monk and some senior monks, which kind of keeps everybody behaving quite okay in the monastery, it is possible to live there and just ignore everybody else and be irresponsible and just be kind. And that's what I did. I'll try that. I would try not to complain. I would try not to fix up anybody else. And did that for a long, long time until kindness basically started to develop inside of me. And that was something new for me. I have this background of going to business school and working in finance and have this theoretical, rational background. For me to develop kindness was something new. And I needed a senior monk to hammer me, just be kind, just be kind, just be kind. And it was possible to do. And that is also something you can do, probably, to a much, much bigger degree. Develop kindness in your life. But you might be, there are probably more people around you who may take advantage of you. But still, I think most people can develop kindness in words and in actions. And just by doing that, start this process of developing this feeling inside of you, which we call metta. And when you develop a lifestyle based on kindness, when you then sit down to do meditation, it's much easier to get that feeling up in your mind, so you have that object to focus on. I read quickly before I came here some old texts about what metta is and the benefits of metta. So this is like an introduction of metta. I'm just going to read out a few benefits of metta. So this is from the Buddha, what he says about metta. And he says that if you develop kindness or metta in your life, you don't have bad dreams when you're sleeping. You will appear to other people as a pleasing person, as a nice person. So when you are out, people just look at you as a pleasant person to be with. The third thing is that if you have metta inside of you, in your mind, deep meditation comes much, much quicker. So it's much easier to calm down your mind quicker and deeper. It also says that your face changes, your appearance of your face changes. You will look more serene, and people will see that. And another thing is metta developed will give you a good rebirth. When this body is going bye-bye, if you develop lots of kindness, lots of metta in your life, that's a reason for your continued existence to be a good one. So, breath, conclusion here, breath is easy to find. The object is easy to find and easy to make bigger, so it's easier to hold on to an object, which can calm you down. You find peace, tranquility inside. Metta also do that. Metta also calms you down and gives you peace. But it also gives you this delicious feeling inside. The drawback might be that in the beginning, it's kind of woolly, the whole thing. What is actually this feeling? And you have to play around quite a while, I think, before you actually find this feeling arising in your mind, which you can hang on to. Just as you hang on to your breath in meditation, you can hang on to this feeling. The way to develop this feeling of metta or kindness in your mind, the first part until that feeling arises in you is normally done by a word which you repeat inside your mind. Over and over and over again, repeating something like happiness or happy or kind over and over and over again over a long time. So in the beginning, you're not meditating on the feeling of metta, you're meditating to create that feeling. And that is what I want to try as a meditation session tonight. This first part of metta, a basic introduction to help you to create that first ignition or first kindling of that feeling of metta in you. And that when that comes, you switch your focus from this idea or word of kindness to the result of it. Okay? Is there any question on this? There should be. Yep, please.
And how will we know?
Know what?
We'll just know when we get that feeling that that's what it is.
Probably the answer is yes,
yeah.
But there's also another, like a small warning. At least I had that problem in the beginning. This feeling of metta, the real metta feeling, can easily be misunderstood as some kind of feeling you have from sensuality, like relationships and sex, and that warm kind of feeling you have. But it's not that one. So very often when you start to meditate on metta, it can be mixed up. You end up mixing it up with sensuality, and then there is a feeling arising which is will you normally will perceive as warm in your body. Your body will warm up. That's the wrong one. You might find pleasure in it, but it's a dead end. It only takes you so far, and most people know enough about that. The feeling is non-sensory, and it's you just have to try until it arises. And when something arises, you probably have to talk to somebody. Is that the right thing, etc. But doing properly, that feeling will be so strong that you will not be able to kind of ignore it, and it will be so powerful, and it will be so my word is delicious. It's so extremely delicious that you will, it's like you will just hang on to it, because it's so, it's just so nice to fill yourself with that feeling. And that when you do that, you find this attraction to this feeling. It just grows and grows and grows, and you're off. It just grows and grows and gets better and better. Any other questions? So I suggest that we start a meditation session. We can turn down the lights. Okay, I'm going to talk you into this, walk you into this meditation in the beginning. What I wish you to do, I wish to guide you into a little walk, a little journey into your mind. I'm not going to do like a classical guided meditation on metta, where I tell this story. I'm not going to do that. What I will do, I will try to make you do your own story. And I will try to define what should happen in that story. So your mind kind of leaps in that direction. And a little beautiful, nice story can come out of your mind. So please first make sure that you sit as nice, as comfortable as possible. Relax your feet and your hands, and sit in a position which does not create any pain in your body. Meditation is kind of difficult enough as it is, so please sit in a way that does not create pain and disturbances in your mind because of the pain. try to make the most out of your sitting position. And just really relax, and close your eyes, and just know that you're sitting in a group of really good people. So you can really relax here and be at ease. There's nobody here who wants you any harm. They're just monks and lay people who wish honestly to develop their minds, to develop happiness and peace, joy. What I wish you to do is whatever happening in your mind, whatever comes out of your mind, that will be your story, that will be your journey for tonight. There is only one thing I want you to do. If your mind goes in a direction which you feel is kind of wrong or dark or sad, then I want you to somehow, while you're walking inside, turn away. It's like walking in the street and you come to a crossroad and you see down one road and it's kind of dark and it's kind of scary, then go down another road. I want you to have in the back of your mind an idea that you are going to walk towards something which is beautiful, something which is happy, something where is joy, something somewhere is peaceful, somewhere where there are friends. So whatever happens when you now sit and watch what's going on in your mind, if it's unpleasant, then change. Look in another direction. And when you're walking in your mind, wherever your mind takes you, whatever appears, wherever you go, whatever happens, I want you to plant flowers. I want you to use your memory to call for your friends and call for all your nice experiences in life and let them come. That everything which is friendly, everything which is beautiful, everything which is nice, those are welcome into your mind tonight. If something else pops up in your mind which you feel is not happy, then just turn around and look somewhere else deliberately. And whatever pops up in your mind, whatever you see, whatever is created, I just want you to have this one word inside your mind which you send towards what you see. And that is just happy. Happy. Or may you be happy. Just go for a walk inside your mind. Don't do anything except you feel it's kind of wrong. Then turn around, go somewhere else. But whatever there is in your mind, just stay there and welcome everything which is good, beautiful, friendly, either from the past or in the future, or it's a fantasy. Whatever it is good. And what you see, see that with a little smile, a little mental smile, and just think this word, happy. Not every second, maybe every fifth second, or every tenth second, or every new thing happening in your mind. Just pray what's going on in your mind, what you meet with, may you be happy, or just happy. Let that word happy soak into your mind. Repeating that word every now and then. And outside that, just watch. Just be kind, generous, friendly, respectful, open, selfless. And this is your journey, it's not my journey. Let your mind create this journey for tonight. And let your mind create friendship, kindness, good memories. That is allowed into your mind. If your mind produces something not fun, just turn away a bit and let your mind produce the good stuff, the happy stuff, the happy memories. And whatever is going on in your mind is good. Just repeat, happy. Just watch this movie inside your mind. Whatever is playing out is the movie for tonight. Allow your mind to create whatever it wants to go, as long as it is towards something beautiful, something kind, something friendly. You can even deliberately add something positive. If you're walking in a park, you can plant some flowers. You can see these kids running in the park, having joy, laughing, playing. You can create your own positive, nice, fantasy. As long as it goes a direction where there's a smile inside of you, so it's good. Do things inside. Create this goodness. Find those memories. Find those friends. Show this respect. Show your kindness. Show your smile. To whatever journey your mind is producing for you now. And only if your mind goes the wrong way, then go down another street in your mind. See the beauty. See the good. And just repeat every now and then, kindly, happy. May you be happy. Whatever you meet inside, have this wish of happiness. Allow for kindness in your mind. Allow for friendship. Allow for beauty. Allow for peace. Allow smiles inside. Let that come forth inside of you. Everything good, let it arise in your mind. And may you wish that happiness. Over and over and over again. mind produce beauty, produce kindness, produce kindness, produce good. Let your mind unfold as it wishes, and you only spread kindness and happiness on that journey your mind is creating now. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be this way or that way. Whatever is going on in your mind, that's the right thing. Just to repeat, happy, may you be happy. Happy. whatever is going on in your mind, just keep repeating that word every now and again. Happy. May you be happy. Let that word soak into your mind and soften your mind. Slowly. Drop by drop. Slowly. whatever your mind is creating now is fine. Just welcome in all good emotions, like beauty, kindness, friendship, softness. Allow that to enter into your mind, and just to repeat every now and then this word, happy. May you be happy. Over and over and over again. And I will stop talking now for 10 minutes. I'm going to ring the bell 3 times now, and after the 3rd ring, then we can stop and we can open our eyes. That was a hard one.
Can you switch those off and put the others on, please? Switch the wrong ones off. Yeah, thank
cool.
you.
That was a real wake up.
We saw the light.
Yeah. Hopefully your mind has softened a bit. It's half an hour.
It was well over half. Nearly 45 minutes.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
No,
yeah.
Well,
okay.
It's good if the group did that.
Yeah. To get some really kind of deeper metta going, like half an hour is not enough, basically. But this is one example on how you can start the process. How you can start to ignite or kindle this feeling. And if you do this long enough and kind enough, things will happen in your mind. It's nothing to do with you, it's cause and effect. If you have enough comfort in your body, enough stillness around you, and enough intention of happiness and kindness, these feelings do arise after a while and after some training. But saying that, it is also true that even smaller session like this of kindness, it also does affect your mind. But you might not see it yourself. It's there, but very often other people around you see it. You don't see it yourself because it's coming slowly. It's not one big bang and then suddenly there is kindness. It's just drop by drop and drop. But it's not enough for you to kind of really feel it yet. But it's there, and it lifts up your mind a bit. So your perception of life, how you feel being a human being, is a bit better. That's what I think. We have 10 minutes, so I wonder whether anybody has some kind of comments or questions. This is the last time I'll be here. For a while, I'm kind of off the hook now.
Another 10 minutes.
my next kind of endeavor is to, for the first time, start to teach a weekend retreat.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm going to prepare. That's what will my kind of, that will be my work the next month to come. So instead of preparing coming here, I will start to prepare doing my first weekend retreat. So, if anybody had any question whatsoever, like we can open up, or
how
any
do you
feedback.
Stop falling asleep.
Sleeping more. Honestly.
I find sometimes I'm here and next to a wall.
Yeah. Sleep more.
Good.
Sleep more.
Honestly, even. Even in our monastery, where we have plenty of time to sleep, many monks are so eager to do this monk training that they basically ending up not sleeping enough, and they want to get up early in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and yeah, now we're going to do this kind of spiritual training. And the result is that even monks don't have enough sleep. And I have so many, this goes for me as well, and I have so many times just said, okay, I don't have enough sleep, and I have kind of slept until like 10 o'clock just to test it out. In 10 o'clock in the afternoon, instead of getting 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock, I just sleep until lunch. And when I meditate after that, I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? I'm living this easy life. Well, it's not easy, okay, but it seems like an easy life. And even I kind of messing up and don't get enough sleep. And when I give myself enough sleep, I don't fall asleep when I'm meditating, and I feel much better. So if you fall asleep, sleep more. Honestly, sleep much more. Allow yourself to sleep much more. Honestly, if you can, it really works. Well, he was first.
Just doing metta meditation now. I noticed my much more than when I do breath meditation, a sense of myself moving outwards.
Okay.
Is that typical? Is that a good sign, or is
it
I'm not grounded enough?
No. That's basic, as I see it, that's the nature of metta meditation in the beginning. Because metta to make this feeling arise in you, you have to be a bit active in your mind to kindle that feeling. So there has to be some repetition, some words. Maybe you have to make some visualizations or fantasies to create them. So it's naturally that you don't get as peaceful in the beginning as breath. But as soon as, if you make that feeling arise, the feeling of metta has the same effect as breath. It's just to remove completely all your movements of your mind.
It's not that my mind was distracted. I felt very focused.
Yeah.
Focused and moving outwards.
Yeah, but that's okay in the beginning now. I don't know, you have to play around. The main thing is that you have to train until this feeling of metta arises in you. And if it's right for you to go a bit out and spread kind of kindness to what is around you, that is okay, especially in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's if you get some sensory impingements or some sensory input, you hear something or you feel something, and you send metta out in the beginning, that's really, really okay. I often start like that.
Mm-hmm.
I start with what's around me and send metta to that. And if you do that properly over time, those sensory inputs will grow less and less and less. And you can direct more and more of your kindness to what's going on inside your mind. So I think that's a natural thing, and it's not wrong. But you have to play around.
I was just after the pronunciation of, is it
Metta
or Metta?
It's M E T T long A. That's the Sanskrit Pali thing. It's M E T T and then the A is a long A, so it's a Metta. that's the proper kind of old pronunciation of that word.
Thank you.
But it's not an English word, okay?
Yeah.
In the back.
Oh, I know. He had his hand up for a while before.
Okay, cool. Okay,
yeah. Maybe I say this word metta.
Yeah.
or loving kindness,
yeah.
Or you just say happy.
Yeah, yeah.
So do we direct this word happy to ourselves, or we indicate it to ourselves, just a general feeling, or to somebody else?
Yeah.
What is the best way?
There are many ways of doing this, and I basically you will have to play around yourself. The standard, there's lots of kind of teachers who have different approaches to this, and if you read up a bit, you try different ways, you can figure out what works. Like our senior monk in the monastery, he advises people to give metta to yourself in the end, because lots of people have ill will or some kind of remorse or a bad image of yourself, and then it's difficult to spread kindness to yourself. But if you have a mind which is uplifted and full of joy, then it's much easier to spread that to yourself. So his recipe is normally to just create a little fantasy world with something which is easy to generate this feeling of goodwill towards, and you start with something small and you make it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then in the end, when you have a strong feeling or the feeling is arising in you, you can include yourself. But it's not necessarily the right way to do it. There are many approaches to this.
Okay.